Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from the great state of Ohio. She is the newly minted Assistant Director of Social Media Brand Strategy at Bowling Green State University. Her name is Brianna Blackburn. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Brianna came highly recommended from my colleague, John Azzoni. She was on his podcast, and he said, you have to have her on the show to talk about social media. And after following her for a couple of weeks now, I know why. So looking forward to the episode on social media and how to get better at it and how to elevate your institution's brand on TikTok, Facebook, wherever, Instagram. So Brianna, during our pre-interview, you told me that your university recently ranked number 6 in the nation for social media by Rival IQ and number 1 in the state of Ohio. Now, to put this in perspective, Bowling Green State University, around 17,000 students enrolled, outdone the Ohio State University by a long shot. So congratulations on that, first of all. But what strategies do you think contributed to get to that achievement, to go past all these bigger schools?
Yeah, I think we have just been like really relentless and with being consistent on all of our social media platforms. So I think an area that differentiates us was our TikTok. We were one of the first universities in Ohio to really get be consistent posting on TikTok. And what we try to do is create really engaging and entertaining content. So we're really trying to lead with like an emotional connection, relatability. And I think that having that emotional connection is what differentiates us. We're not just, you know, talking about how great we are, but we're trying to tell stories, and not only just stories, but make people laugh and feel. So I think, that might be something that differentiates us.
When did you start ramping up at the university? When did you decide to go all in on social media?
Yeah, so my story started as a freshman at BGSU. I joined the social media team helping our College of Business with their social. And then I transitioned onto the parent channels, the official BGSU, my junior year. And so I just, I was a student at the time, but I also was always like a student of social media. So kind of having that growth mindset, trying to learn and study what other brands are doing, as well as other universities. But I do think like there's something to be said about looking outside of the higher ed space for good examples of how a brand can be successful on social. And I, when I graduated in 2020 in December, applied for the full-time job, and I started with just myself on the full-time team. And then we've grown now to having 3 full-time social media people at BG. So that has been so great to have that extra, those extra resources to keep us creating really valuable, engaging content.
Yeah, that's a case study in itself, because we always talk about that you have the talent on campus, and why not, you have first dibs, why not utilize it, right? Because you were a social media specialist assistant while you were still at school. Then you became, when you went on full-time social media brand strategist, you worked your way up to manager. And now, like I said, you're the assistant director of social media. That's just remarkable on your part, and it's a good case study, like I said, for everybody else listening to make sure you utilize the talent that you have on campus, especially the younger ones who are more savvy when it comes to social media. So congratulations to you.
Yeah. And I will say one of our social media strategists, Brielle, she was also a student intern for me. And so that's another example of, like, you know, using the people that you have on campus. And then Jawan, he comes from our rival institution, the University of Toledo. So we kind of stole him. He was a Rocket and now he's a Falcon. So, and they're both, we're all three of us are, you know, Gen Z. And I think that really helps us connect with the students.
That helps so much because you know what they're, what that target audience is into, what speaks to them, the authenticity, and just the overall structure of a social media post, what pops in the mind of these young adults. Now, earlier you mentioned your team is relentlessly consistent in posting. Now, how do you balance the volume of content with maintaining quality across all of the social media channels that you have?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, time is always our biggest enemy. It's so hard. I think balancing like timeliness. So like if there's, you know, a big win for the football team or this breaking news, we want to be the first people to share that. And I have seen a huge difference when we are like, you know, Falcons win. And even if it's not like this gorgeous post, it's just like a quick iPhone photo, that is gonna, you know, perform so well because it's like in the moment breaking. It's what people are opening their Twitter or opening Instagram to figure out, you know, how did the game end. So I think, you know, prioritizing timeliness and then you know, balancing the more like authentic like iPhone videos with the more produced videos. We have a great collaboration with our visual team. They are the experts when it comes to photography and cinematic video. So we'll work with them and, you know, we'll give them ideas of like, here's like a opener that could make, you know, really catch people's attention. And then they can, you know, make everything look very cinematic. But they're always open to like those hooks, those like first, like 3 seconds of the video, like here's how we can make it like really pop. And then as well as like, you know, the photography, like can we take, you know, their photography and, you know, add a little spice to it. So I know the Mudang meme has been going around on Instagram, the baby hippo from Thailand. So like, you know, adding a baby hippo to one of their beautiful campus scene photography photos. Other than that, I think what we're trying to do is, you know, of course, like, you know, reach new audiences. So kind of thinking about our content, having some of it be top of funnel, like for people who have never heard of BGSU before, we're not going to get on their For You pages by just talking about how great we are. We have to create content that is relatable to a really broad audience. So we balance that with, it's like a little bit of a formula. We have the brand or the top of funnel, and then we have brand pride posts, which is what I call them. Brand pride is like our differentiator. So, you know, our rankings, the amazing research that we're doing at BG, that's, you know, super specific to our university. It's our, you know, having like an amazing, Falcon marching band, one of the largest in the nation. People who don't know what BGSU is, they might not like automatically like care, but that's for our audience that are already bought in. So I call that brand pride. And then of course you have like the informational posts for your specific audiences. So maybe it only applies to parents or only applies to alumni or students. So those are kind of like our three buckets. And of course we have like larger goals that fall into all of those buckets. But I think just having the majority of your content be top of funnel and brand pride, and then giving that information to those specific audiences where they want to see it. Places like Instagram story, I think, is really helpful, rather than just constantly posting, you know, informational content like in the feed. So that's kind of our formula.
Yeah, that's very insightful. I like that you stay within the trends, like the baby hippo, right? Everybody's posting about that, like you said. But if you jump on that ahead of time, it's going to ride that wave. It's going to get in front of audiences that may have not heard about you. And then you get that brand recognition from simply being attuned to what's going on out there in the social media sphere. When you talked in the pre-interview with me, you told me about your approach to using skits on platforms like TikTok, which is kind of unique. So could you explain how these skits resonate with the audience and what sets your university apart from the others?
Yeah. So skits are, it's kind of like something that I have not really seen a lot of universities do before. It started being a trend among TikTok creators. Besides brands, we love looking at influencers and content creators for inspiration, because that's the content that I think we all know and love to consume. So that's another great space to get inspiration from. And so skits are like BGSU dads on Move-In. Like, you could, one of the posts that we did that went viral 2 or 3 years ago was BGSU dads on Move-In, and it was with the Home Depot sound. And so that was kind of like a montage of like dads of college students, like carrying all their suitcases and furniture. But taking that to the next level would be a skit, and kind of making, not fun of, but light of like some of the things that college dads always say, or moms. Like, we did that for family weekend last year. One of our student interns, she did a skit of her mom when her mom visits her college apartment. And, you know, like, she walks in the door and she's immediately like, "Honey, we need to clean everything." And it's kind of just like making like a funny voice. Or I'm sure you've seen like a lot of guys on TikTok will wear like a towel around their head to pretend they're a mom or like a woman. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just a funny way. It's very entertaining. It's something that people can relate to, because we all have had those experiences with either of our parents, or maybe it's like the type A, the friend, the leader of the friend group during homecoming weekend. And they're like, you know, "We've got to set up the tent for the tailgate. Like, make sure you eat now because we won't have time later." Just like being very aggressive, like the kind of like the boss of the group.
I just recently saw that during move-in day a couple of weeks ago, where they had those different dads, you know, they're carry it all at once dad who's packing everything in a one trip going into the house, or the guy who's like the guy dad, and you see him holding a cup of coffee walking into the dorm while mom's schlepping everything in the back with her.
Yes.
That sort of stuff. So really
fun. Yeah, kind of just playing off of stereotypes that we all are aware of, but, and like kind of embracing it and having fun with it.
Yeah, right now I see a lot of posts, a lot of these, a day in the life of a SaaS marketer, a day in the life of this, and a day in the life of that. You know, it's all over the place right now. It's trending. And a couple of months ago, you know, it was those videos where it's like broken up into half. One side is the person watching a video, and then you kind of see their reaction to whatever the video is. So that was something I've seen a couple of months ago. There's these waves of trends, and you want to capture them while they're hot, and then maybe be one of the first ones to do it. Otherwise, you look like a copycat, you know. And it seems like
you guys
are on the beat of things, like, because you got these young workers, they are Gen Zers that know what's trending. Somebody like me, who may be like, I'm the YouTube Shorts guy who sees trending videos that are posted from TikTok that were trending 2 months ago. You know, if I adopt that, it's no longer relevant, or not as relevant as it was back then. But if you have somebody like you or your team who are on the beat of things, you know, it's so valuable for higher education institutions that want to target that particular audience.
Yeah. One thing that we do is like, this is just like an easy tip, is if you know there's going to be like some type of big album release for an up and coming artist, or because we're always like, you know, hopping on when like Beyonce or Taylor Swift like drops a new album, we'll always like post, we'll have something in the works that we're going to post. Or if there's, you know, like the Super Bowl, like we'll mark our calendars for those things so that that day we have like maybe like an hour or 2 hour block to like create something along that moment that we, you can't, you don't know when something's going to go viral or something's going to be trending every single time, but there are some of those things that you can kind of plan out in advance, or at least plan time in your schedule to create something. And that's definitely been like a game changer for us to like keep creating that kind of content.
Yeah, that drives home the importance of having a content calendar and actually looking ahead, you know, not being a day off like me. Oh, it's National Daughter's Day or National Son's Day. I think I'm going to have to post something real quick before I, you know, before I miss it. But yeah, when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce started dating, all you could see was Taylor Swift in anything,
yeah,
really, football, right? So this
right.
was one of those things again. But I really was impressed watching one of your BGSU videos. It was Welcome to Our Crib, Falcons, like playing off of MTV Cribs in the back. We had it back in the days, and it was really relatable. But it was also super, it seemed super high production video content as well. So how do you decide when to use high quality, high production videos versus a more authentic student created content like a takeover?
I'll tell you a little bit about the campaign
Mm-hmm.
first. So that campaign was, it's a visit campaign. So it's an enrollment campaign encouraging prospective students to visit the university. And we did MTV Cribs, Architectural Digest photos, Selling Sunset. We did all these different realtor style home style videos and posts to try to differentiate ourselves a little bit, because it's, I think you hear people talk about like the Reese's University all the time. Have you ever heard of that? The Reese's?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh my gosh, you have to watch this video. Reese's Cup, like the chocolate brand, they did a video, a kind of a spoof off of higher ed. Like basically it's a commercial and they created their own world, like their own Reese's Cup University. And they kind of just showed how easy it was to like replicate a higher education commercial. And it was like super cheesy and like you belong here and like this is where friendships for life are made and you know, research is done that for innovators. And it kind of just was like a spoof off of higher ed. So when I saw that, I was like, we cannot be like Reese's University.
Okay. Now we're going to have to do this right now on the spot. Okay. So this is Reese's University right here.
I believe so. Yes.
It's a place, but also a journey. An institution, but more than that, an ideal. This is Reese's University, where there is no limit to what you can do. With chocolate, with peanut butter, with life. It starts here, where bold visions are realized, and great ideas merge into one. Where we learn about our world, but even more about ourselves. Where our cups are always overflowing with potential. Whether it's forging lifelong friendships or marching to a different drummer, here you have the freedom to realize your dreams. This is your opportunity.
Looks legit.
I know.
So dig in. Chocolate. Peanut butter. Success. What
like,
does
is
your
this
future
not
taste
every
like?
University's commercial?
I'm RU.
Yeah.
I'm RU.
Are you?
Apply now. We're not just.
I love it. Okay, very cool. That's awesome. I love that. That's so fun. I've never seen this
I
before.
I know. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. So that's like our guiding force. Like, we're not going to be Reese's University. We're going to try to do things a little differently. And so having like a campaign with some type of theme has definitely helped us differentiate ourselves. And I love the real estate campaign because we were able to do, you know, the overall campaign is to encourage students to visit, but, you know, MTB Cribs is something that's relatable to alumni and people who went to school in the early 2000s. Selling Sunset is popular among Gen Z moms, I feel like, the moms of Gen Z. So millennial and Gen X moms. So I feel like it kind of is a campaign that has something for everyone. And the reason why we wanted to use, we wanted to make those high produced is because the idea actually came from an agency that we work with, Early Birds. They're alum of the university. So that's just another, it's not exactly like using people you have on campus, but kind of because they get BG because they were actually like students at one time. And I think like it's great to have like high production videos that still have that trendy social media vibe to them, because it kind of like gives our brand more, it makes us feel like a more, if we were only posting iPhone videos, I feel like it wouldn't look as legit. So it's good to have a balance of those two things. But we also like did lots of iPhone and like TikTok trends and things like that. And another post that we did was like pictures of new areas on campus. And we did like, this is going to be your backyard. This is going to be your front porch, things like that. And it's, the campaign is still going. There's more to come, but it's doing really well.
Yeah, give them a sense of belonging right away, even if they can't tour it on campus. You know, when you show it to them, that like, this is where I can see myself or not. So that's a good way to get those prospective students that are mission fit versus the ones that may not do well at the university from the get go. But we've all heard it before. People, you know, when you work with different stakeholders, they may come to you and say, hey, make this go viral, whatever it is, right? How do you set realistic expectations and educate stakeholders on what makes content successful on social media?
That's a really good question. I think we're really fortunate at BG to have leadership that believes in the power of social. And I think it's like you said at first, like, you know, everyone wants everything to go viral, but we've definitely been able to like educate, you know, up the funnel, up the institution, like, here's, you know, our strategy, here's why we do certain things. I think always just like, you know, explaining why, and then also like asking questions to your leadership about what they want to see. And then trying it, like throwing them a bone and like, you know, doing what they ask, and then, you know, pivoting if it performs well. Like, maybe your leadership is spot on and like you need to keep posting whatever the content area is. And then sometimes like it's not quite what the rest of your audience wants to see. So I think showing that data has been really helpful for us. We're very data driven. But also it is, social media is truly just a numbers game. So I think when it comes to going viral, it's just a matter of like consistency and like the algorithm rewarding you. And I think like, I mean, everyone knows it's like such a struggle. Like sometimes you're going to have like those drought weeks where like it feels like nothing is performing. And I think when that does happen, just try to keep mixing it up. And eventually like something will, you know, pop among your audience. And the best thing that we do is like engaging in the comments and like cultivating that community. We've also been trying to like delight and surprise some of our followers, sending them, you know, gear, like merch, whatever that is, and just like deeper building that relationship. And then they'll keep commenting and sharing your posts. That's always helpful, but it is such a struggle. Like, you can't control the algorithm. All you can do is just be consistent and true to your brand. And just keep trying new things.
Yeah, you got to be consistent for sure. Now, I like the way that you phrase that too. Have a two-way street, a two-way communication between you and the people that comment on your content. Because first of all, they put in the effort to take some time out of their day to watch your stuff or look at it. And then even more of an effort to comment on it because they care about the institution or whatever the content was about. The least one can do is to respond and make them feel seen and heard. Whatever the comment is, whether it's positive or negative. And then also, like you just mentioned, the droughts of sometimes, you know, not all things are flying colors. What you post, some things may tank, you know. And what are some of the roles, what role does experimenting play when it comes to social media? Because sometimes you may have one, it goes viral, right? And all of a sudden you're freezing because you're like, oh my God, how am I going to replicate that? I don't want to bomb the next one, so I might as well not even post again, just leave that one sitting there because it did so well.
I think like also like when you have something perform really well, you can always like respond to comments with videos. That's something I want to do more of. Like we're not always doing the best job with that, and I want to, you know, do a better job. Like when we do have like high engagement on like a TikTok or an Instagram reel, actually create like actually responding to comments with a video. Because I feel like that makes people like want to click on the original video and like view your profile. It's more of a back and forth conversation.
Totally, totally. Now let's go back to high quality productions for a moment right now, because sometimes high production, it costs a lot of money. You want to make sure that everybody who participates in it says the right thing, so no money is wasted. But how do you maintain an authentic and relatable feel to connect with those students? Because I've heard it before talking to somebody else about social media. If you give an influencer a script to tell them word for word what they should say, it's never going to be as authentic as if you give them a little bit of a guardrail and tell them to go with whatever makes them successful.
Yeah. So for the visit campaign that we were working on, we did use influencers for those like produced videos, the Selling Sunset and the MTV Cribs. They were the stars of our video that we posted on our account, and then they just shared it on theirs. They're students of BGSU, and I think like they were both, it's a football player and a cheerleader. The football player was the realtor. We were like, that specific video is an example of like a video where we did have a script, because it's not like he was producing his own video. But in the moment when he was saying the lines, like we adjusted so much. Like if something wasn't like coming off out of his mouth, like if it wasn't like the right voice for him and who he is, we just tweaked on the spot. Like, how would you say this? This is what we're trying to say. How would you say it? And so we did a lot of that tweaking on the spot. And then we also did work with an influencer for this campaign. His name's Trent Miller. He does the speed tours of houses on TikTok. And you might have seen him before. He's been going super viral the last couple months. And he wrote the script completely himself. There was a few things where we were like, no, like we probably can't say that. But it was a little bit more of a risky, a little bit of a riskier video for us in certain moments. But I think it was worth it, because it's like you said, you don't want to like water down their personality and water down what makes their video so good. And so we really let him take the lead on like what he wanted to focus on, because at the end of the day, like if we're just talking about how great we are, or asking him to talk about how great BGSU is in his video, it's not going to be interesting. It's more fun if he is like being silly on campus. And so we didn't try to, you know, give him all these talking points. We let him like be the creative lead.
Yeah, super young guy, right?
Yeah, he's only like 19 or 20, so.
Yeah, I just looked them up, never heard of him, but I'm going to have to check out some of these videos. Yeah, I mean, they became successful by doing the way they do things on their own, is how they became influencers. And they have that audience that expects a certain bravado from this influencer,
For
right?
sure.
If you cut that, it's going to tank because all of a sudden their sellouts, it's going to hurt their brand too. If you make them do something, and then the collaboration will probably never happen again if they have a bad time with
Right.
you. Now, you talked about in the pre-interview as well, using tools like Sprout Social to monitor competitor reports. Now, how do these insights shape your social media strategy and content planning?
Yeah. So I love looking at the competitor report in Sprout. It is so helpful because we, through this tool, we are able to see like the top posts among our competitors for a given time frame. So I'll look at the month of, you know, September or even like for the last like year and see what the top posts were. So sometimes it'll be like a CapCut. Sometimes it'll be like a CapCut template. Sometimes it'll be just photos. And so whether it's like a specific topic, like, you know, a lot of Ohio State, you know, is posting about their football team. So we'll take that into account with the fact that they have an amazing football program. But then, you know, this other university will be posting their top content with something on a holiday. So we'll just kind of like take that information and marinate on it and determine like, you know, this is the best of the best that was posted. How can we replicate that same energy without obviously copying? Something I am loving right now is universities and brands in general giving creators and other brands, you know, giving them their credit for an idea. So one university that has done this with us is Montclair University in New Jersey. We'll like tag them and they'll tag us in videos where we're like, got this idea from Montclair. And so I think that's so smart and it shows like, you know, camaraderie among higher ed. And, you know, you're not just ripping people off. Sometimes if it's like a trend, like it's just a trend. Like we're not going to give, I don't know, whoever credit for like the Mudang thing. Like we'll tag the zoo that the hippo is from, but we're not going to, you know, rip off somebody's idea. But we're also not going to like tag every single brand, like all 400 that I've posted about it. But I do love that concept of like tagging creators and other brands for starting trends. And
yeah, if you know the source, you know, if you know the source of it, where it came from first, then it makes sense to give them the credit, because a lot of other people know that it's where it came from. And if it looks like you're trying to make it your own, and it just hurts your reputation.
For sure. Yeah.
Now,
but with Sprout, we're like, you know, we pull like monthly reports, weekly reports, and we'll send those out. And I think it's helpful when you asked earlier, like how we communicate with our leadership. If we're able to show, hey, this is where we're stacked and like among our competitors in Ohio or the Midwest or in the country, this is where we stack up. That builds trust with the social team, with our leadership, that they can trust, like, okay, BG's doing really well compared to our competitors. We're going to trust like their strategy.
Yeah, top leadership loves rankings. So if you can show yourself that you're in top 10, they're like, and you outdone the Ohio State University, I think you're in good shape there for sure. Now, what advice would you give somebody in a higher ed institution looking for the right balance between quality, quantity, authenticity for their social media channels?
Oh, yeah, that's a hard question. The ratios are always so hard. I think like,
like
I
if they
say
start out, right? If they start out and like they see you at the conference, they say, Brianna, I'm really, you know, I'm inspired by what you do. When I get started, should I focus on quality? Should I focus on quantity? What should I do?
Both. But if I had to pick one, I would honestly, it depends on
both
the platform.
Both is a fine answer too, you know, both is good.
Yeah.
But which platform, for example, you want to contact Gen Zers, which one should we go all in on?
I would say YouTube. YouTube shorts are where, I mean, obviously I love TikTok, but YouTube is like such a beast of a search engine, and Gen Alpha, like there's so much research that shows that's one of the top platforms that they're looking at for not just like, you know, social media, but like, it's like their entertainment. So it's almost like their Netflix, but they also treat it like TikTok because they have the shorts, and it's also like Google. It's like all the things wrapped in one. And I think like the fact that Gen Alpha, the studies are showing that Gen Alpha are on YouTube, just is like, that's where we got to be going all in. We're trying to do like more videos that are like searchable, so that answer questions on YouTube, like with student vlogs. We're trying to move in that direction. We're not necessarily like doing the best at this, but I know that it's important. And that's what we're trying to do. And then, you know, cross promoting our TikToks and Instagram reels on YouTube shorts. But it's like you said, the timing is not the same with YouTube shorts. You can't just always, you know, copy and paste. Sometimes you have to wait a little bit before you post the TikTok trend. And there's also tons of YouTube shorts trends that you can hop on. So
definitely.
I know that you asked how do you balance it, but I don't know how to answer that. I think it's just like a constant ongoing effort to do the quality and the quantity.
Yeah, adjust, iterate, see what works for your particular institution, and then just start, right? Don't overthink but start. So Brianna, super insightful episode. Thank you very much for being a part of this show. How can people get in touch with you?
Yes, you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram, or LinkedIn, Brianna L. Blackburn. And then of course, follow Official BGSU on everything, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Bowling Green State University. Shoot us a DM.
Well done. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it being part of the Education Marketing Leader, and I will see you soon. Take care now.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you enjoyed it, don't keep it to yourself. Share with your friends and your network. And if you have a moment, I would really appreciate a review of the podcast. That'll help other people find the show as well. Tune in every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. when I release another episode. Take care now. Have a good one, friends. We'll be right back.